in the spotlight, and at odds.
My opponent is not viewed as a friend of business at all.
Chris Collins is endorsed by a group that wants to privatize Social Security.
This congressional race is getting national attention, and the two candidates are running neck and neck. Tonight, the focus will be on the issues and not the ads. The time to set the record straight is now.
This is Decision 2012, the 27th District Congressional Debate, a WNED and WGRZ-TV production in cooperation with WBFO-FM, WHEC, and WXXI, and along with the Buffalo News, presented in partnership with the League of Women Voters.
Good evening. I'm Mary Alice Demler from WGRZ-TV in Buffalo, and we are just moments away from the first debate in one of the closest congressional races in the country.
And hello, I'm Don Hudson from News 10 NBC in Rochester. Now, Representative Kathy Hochul and former Erie County Executive Chris Collins are trying to win the redrawn 27th district. Before we get to the debate, we want to give you a closer look at the district. We've shaded in the 27th in blue. You can see it right there. It actually stretches across eight counties. We've outlined them in orange for you. This redrawn district is definitely an advantage for Collins because there are seven times more enrolled Republicans than Democrats in it.
But despite that advantage, it is a close race. The most recent Siena College poll, commissioned by WGRZ-TV and the Buffalo News, has each candidate with 47% of the vote.
And that leaves you 6% undecided. That's who the candidates want to go get tonight. And now it is time to meet the candidates and begin the debate.
And for that, we head to WNED-TV studios in downtown Buffalo and join our moderator, Jim Ranney.
Thank you, Mary Alice and Don. Welcome to tonight's debate. Over the next hour, we'll learn more about the candidates seeking your vote on Election Day, November 6th. The candidates are Democrat Kathleen Hochul. Ms. Hochul is the incumbent in this race after winning a special election in May 2011. Previously, Ms. Hochul served as Erie County Clerk and on the Hamburg Town Board. She also appears on the Working Families line. Ms. Hochul, welcome tonight.
Thank you very much.
The Republican candidate is Christopher Collins. Mr. Collins is the former Erie County Executive and has spent more than 30 years as a businessman in the private sector. He also appears on the Conservative Party line in this campaign. Mr. Collins, welcome.
Good to be here.
The candidates will be taking questions from our panelists, whom we will meet in a moment, and answering email questions submitted prior to tonight's broadcast. Here are the rules for tonight's debate. Each candidate will have 45 seconds to make an opening statement. Questions will alternate, and the candidates will each have 1 minute to answer. The panelists will also have the option to ask a follow-up question. Each candidate will have 30 seconds to answer follow-ups. Email questions will be directed to both candidates, who will have 45 seconds each to respond. The candidates may not interrupt one another, and time limits will be enforced. A bell will ring when time has expired. At the end of the question and answer period, candidates will have 1 minute to make a closing statement. The candidates flipped a coin to determine who would speak first. Ms. Hochul, you have 45 seconds for your opening statement.
Thank you very much. My pleasure to be here. And Chris, thank you for joining us on the stage this evening for this important conversation. 1 year ago, Republicans, Democrats, and Independents honored me with their vote and sent me to Washington to be their independent voice. I've listened to people all across this district, and I've kept that promise. Here's what I've worked hard to do. Cut taxes on middle-class families and small businesses who create jobs. End overburdensome regulations on our farmers. Keep our promise to our seniors on Medicare. Support our military, including leading the fight to save the Niagara Falls Air Base, and balance our budget the right way. I've lived the American dream just like my mom and dad, and I want to make sure I can continue to be a fighter to make sure everyone born in this great country has the same shot I did. That's my commitment to you.
Mr. Collins, you have 45 seconds for your opening statement.
Well, good evening. I'm Chris Collins, and I'm running for Congress to do my part to help restore the promise of the American dream for our children and our grandchildren. Our country's at a tipping point. Barack Obama and Mrs. Hochul believe we can tax and spend our way to prosperity. I know better, and I think you know better. We have to grow our way to prosperity. We need more jobs in America with a strong economy, less spending in Washington with a balanced budget. Energy independence, and we need to repeal Obamacare. Thank you for tuning in, and I'm confident at the end of the debate, I will have earned your vote on November 6th to go to Washington as your member of Congress, working for a brighter future for our children and our grandchildren. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Collins. The first question tonight comes from Bob McCarthy, the political reporter for the Buffalo News. And Bob, your question is for Mr. Collins.
Good evening, Mr. Collins. Welcome.
Good evening.
And let's start out tonight by asking, how willing would you be to work with Democrats in the House should you be elected? Would you consider, for example, compromising on solving the deficit problems through a combination of spending reductions and tax hikes?
Bob, that's a good question. When I was Erie County Executive, I came into a county that had 12 Democrats and 3 Republicans in the legislature. If I was going to get anything done, I had to work collaboratively, reaching across the aisle to get what we needed done to turn around Erie County, bringing business efficiency into a large municipal government for the first time in this country. So I have a proven track record of absolutely reaching across the aisle, compromising where we need to in order to get things done, but never compromising on principles, never compromising on what's best for our children and grandchildren. So yes, I believe as a member of Congress, in the majority, I will be in a good position to be able to help work with what should be President Romney to get this country moving, grow the economy, work on a balanced budget within the next 8 years, as well as working on energy independence in the next 8 years. The country needs to go in a different direction, and I believe my background in the private sector, creating jobs, is what we need as this member of Congress.
Ms. Hochul, you have 1 minute on this question.
I already have a record of working across the aisle with Republicans and Democrats. I voted for a balanced budget amendment, the only Democrat in the state of New York who broke with her party to do that. I actually voted for a $2.4 trillion down payment on our federal deficit, so I've reached across the aisle many times to forge coalitions and make sure we take care of our needs. I put party labels aside. And that's a key difference between myself and Chris Collins, who said he'd never vote with the Democratic Party when he got to Washington. So he's already made clear his unwillingness to compromise and do what we need to do to get this country moving forward. I've got a record of independence, voting for the Keystone Pipeline. Independent, I'm one of the few Democrats to receive the NRA endorsement. So I've already shown my willingness to put aside labels and represent this district with great passion. And he spoke about his collaboration with the legislature. I'm not sure why he then had to go sue the county legislature in order to force a tax increase on all of us. I don't call that cooperation.
Bob, you have a follow-up question for the candidates?
Mr. Collins, just wondering specifically on that idea of tax hikes and spending reductions. Is that something that is a possibility as far as compromise goes for you?
Well, as a member of Congress, I'm going to work on whatever we have to do to get the budget balanced, make sure that we're saving Medicare, making sure that we have Social Security that is solvent, you know, for future generations. So I'm willing to work on the debate how we're going to get this country moving. It starts with growing the economy. It's not taxing our way to success. It's growing our way to success. And I would make one comment about Mrs. Hochul supporting a balanced budget amendment. I don't know how anyone can support a balanced budget amendment and Obamacare. They don't go together.
Ms. Hochul, I'll offer you 30 seconds on this if you'd like it.
I have to say that I did support the balanced budget amendment, one of the few people in this country. And if you want to talk about the health care issue, I've got to tell you, you are willing to turn out people right now who are taking advantage of a program that's working for them. I did not support Obamacare 100%. Of course, I voted many times to repeal it. So you just need to look at my record, Chris. There's a very clear record of independence, saying what's right about the law, but also being willing to fix what's broken, working with Republicans to fix the broken parts of that law.
Let's go to our next question now. It comes from Claudine Ewing from WGRZ-TV. Claudine, thanks for being here. Your question first tonight is for Ms. Hochul.
Good evening. Ms. Hochul, Mr. Collins has a record in the private sector of creating jobs right here in Western New York. And many would say that the economy in Western New York and nationally is a disaster. People want jobs. Many people are barely making it paycheck to paycheck. What have you done? What can you do? What will you do to create jobs and help this community?
That's an issue that's on the minds of people I meet in diners and senior centers all across this district. What we have to do is realize that government doesn't create jobs. Businesses do. We have to create the right conditions, and sometimes it's just having a government that's on your side and not on your back. Small businesses need tax cuts. I was one of 18 Democrats who voted for a tax cut for small businesses. We also need to make sure that we're bringing back businesses that have left this area and not encourage policies where people outsource their jobs to other countries. We can do so much more to encourage people to make it here in America. I've got something called Rebuild America Plan, and part of it is education, making sure our young people have the skills they need to be able to accept the jobs of the future, hundreds of thousands of which are going unfilled right here in Western New York. So we can do better, but outsourcing jobs and free trade policies that Chris Collins and actually Barack Obama support is not something I agree with.
Mr. Collins, on the question, you have 1 minute.
Well, Claudine, you're right. I'm the only candidate here whoever's created jobs, and I do have 500 employees working in this region, good-paying jobs with good benefits, and I'm proud that 99.7% of my employees are making those products right here and shipping those products around the world. I'll also tell you tonight, I'm proud to announce I was endorsed today by the Buffalo-Niagara Partnership. That's the coalition of business interests throughout Erie and Niagara County. There's a reason they endorsed me and not Mrs. Hochul. She is not a friend of business. Obamacare proves that in its face. I'm also supported by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the National Federation of Independent Business, the Associated Builders and Contractors, the National Association of Wholesalers, all of the credit unions. I'm associated by the power generation industry. Small business, large business across America, and the Buffalo-Niagara Partnership are supporting me to be their member of Congress because they know I know how to create jobs. The policies I support are the policies that will get this economy growing, and that's what this country needs.
Claudine, you have a follow-up.
Mrs. Hochul, you mentioned you had the Rebuild America plan, and, you know, it's nice to put that out there. You've been in Congress, so what is it doing? What can it do? Can you be specific?
Sure, I can. I can talk to you about what we've done. I've introduced a bill after having countless forums with businesses, walking the factory floor, meeting with our young people, meeting our community colleges, bringing people together, which is what I do all the time. I've listened to people from all sides of this district. What we have is a skills gap. We've got lots of jobs going unfilled because young people are graduating from community colleges and colleges without the skills they need. But I'm so glad that Mr. Collins is proud of his private sector record, but there's 115 people who were handed the pink slip when you showed up at Buffalo China, and I think they've got a different point of view on what it's like to your job creation efforts in Western New York.
Mr. Collins, I'll give you time on this.
Well, of course. You know, Kathy has said that I fired workers at Buffalo China. I hired workers. It's not fire, it's hire. That company was shut down by Oneida. There wasn't a single employee. The building was dark, and I worked with the management team to restart a company, and working with the New York State Department of Labor, we hired 245 workers. We had 2,000 people apply for those jobs. Mrs. Hochul would say, I fired people. I didn't. I hired people. I never owned Buffalo China. I was never involved with Buffalo China. That's a complete misstatement.
Go on to another question. Our next panelist tonight is Julie Phillip of WXXI-TV and radio in Rochester. Julie, thanks for being here. Your question is for
Thank
Mr. Collins.
Good evening,
first.
Both of you. Mr. Collins, this district encompasses two of New York State's economic development regions, the Finger Lakes region and Western New York. Development councils in both of these regions have identified priority projects that they think would do the most to help revive the local economies. A lot of these projects could stand, an infusion of cash from the federal government, and certainly support from the congressional delegation is key to some of them. Could you identify one project from each region and talk about what you would do to champion it in Washington?
Well, when it comes to this region, frankly, what we have is a very agricultural region. We have dairy farmers, crop farmers that Mrs. Hochul wants to raise taxes on. That's the wrong way to go. Our agricultural folks, they need to get the FDA off their backs. What we need is immigration reform. So when I travel this district, which is very rural, it's a lot of small business, it's dairy farmers, it's crop farmers. My focus, quite frankly, is going to be immigration reform that the dairy farmers need because they can't get those workers they need on the farm. It's going to be getting the EPA off the backs of our farmers, and it's going to be proposing the repeal of Obamacare. That is the drag on the economy, something Mrs. Hochul supports. We have to get rid of Obamacare. That's why, again, the small business community is supporting me and not her. We have to get rid of that, and we have to grow small business. So my focus isn't on one particular project. It's on growing the entire economy with lower taxes and with getting rid of Obamacare.
Ms. Hochul, on this question, 1 minute.
One of the primary issues that we have here in the Western region is developing our resources that we already have. One is the Niagara Falls Air Base and the airport. I have actually been successful in bringing in dollars to expand the runway to make sure that we can possibly expand to be able to handle cargo. This could open up tremendous opportunities for export. I've had roundtables that talk about our farmers and how they could have new products for their agricultural products right here in New York, new markets for them. So there's a lot of exciting things going on, but part of it comes from assistance that I was able to already bring in the short time I've been in Congress. But also, knowing that jobs are the most important issue, I'm fighting to keep the jobs at the airbase. And to the extent that we can link the airbase and the airport in Niagara Falls, that's an important factor. With respect to the Finger Lakes region, I've already met with officials from manufacturing over there, Rochester, High Technology Rochester. I had a roundtable just a couple weeks ago. One thing we're going to do for them is expand the Small Business Innovative Research Program, which helps small businesses in their incubator status get assistance with federal grants. That's the way we're going to build jobs in this country.
Julie Phillip, you have a follow-up question.
Yeah, I have a question for you, Mr. Collins. You mentioned the importance of agriculture and that this is a rural district, but the success of the urban centers is important to people who live in the rural districts. They commute there. They work there. Can you name a project within the urban areas of your district or even in Rochester that's slightly outside of your district but important to people in your district
I'd like to follow up on the Niagara Falls Air Base. Mrs. Hochul brought it up. There is a solution, I haven't heard anyone else talk about. There's 12 C-130 airplanes at the airbase. 8 are controlled by the Air Force, 4 by Governor Cuomo through the National Guard. And there are 16 C-130s in Schenectady. The governor is going to be closing at least one or two of his airbases. We need to ask Governor Cuomo to move the 16 C-130s from Schenectady to Niagara Falls, giving us 28 C-130s, giving us the simulator, and that guarantees the future of the Niagara Falls Air Base. I haven't heard too many other people talk about that solution for the air base.
Ms. Hochul, on this issue, I'll give you more time as well.
I believe the question was what we're going to do to help the urban areas, because even though we represent a more rural and suburban areas, certainly a lot of our constituents will be working in the urban areas. I spent a lot of time down at the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus recently. There are so many exciting opportunities there. Again, great opportunities for collaboration between the business sector, infusing money into these incubator businesses so they can come up with new ideas, new research and technology opportunities to get life-saving help for people. Same thing on the Rochester side. Again, in this short year, I've had so many opportunities to listen to their needs and know that we can grow this economy by helping these small businesses.
Prior to tonight's broadcast, we did solicit email questions from viewers and from listeners. Our first email question tonight comes from Melissa in Darien. She asks, do you believe hydrofracking can be done cleanly and economically, and do you support it in the new 27th District? Ms. Hochul, we start with you, and on email questions, you have 45 seconds.
I hear about hydrofracking constantly when I'm walking this district. When I'm in Patty's place in Canandaigua, for example, we had a conversation just a couple days ago. New York State is taking the lead on this. This is an area where self-control needs to come from the localities. New York State has had a moratorium in place. I believe that they're doing proper due diligence to make sure that there are no environmental impacts. Ultimately, they maybe leave it up to each individual community. And I think that's the right path to take. I think there's still a lot of unanswered questions. People are concerned about affecting the water table, particularly for our agricultural areas. And so it's something that we cannot leap into. There may be opportunities, but we have to make sure that we're smart about this so we don't have unintended consequences for our critically important farm community.
Mr. Collins, on the issue of hydrofracking.
Well, I guess I'm a little more plain-spoken than Mrs. Hochul. Yes, I believe hydrofracking absolutely has a future for us becoming energy independent in the next 8 years, along with more nuclear, more drilling offshore, more drilling on federal lands. We need to continue with clean coal. We need hydrofracking as part of our energy policy to be independent within the next 8 years. It is safe. We need to have safety standards surrounding it, but you're drilling a mile down. I know there's a lot of concerns on the water table. The research I've done, I'm satisfied that hydrofracking is safe when done properly under the right regulations. It is a state issue, but I will tell you I am in support of fracking.
Mr. Collins, thank you. I'll remind our viewers and listeners this is Decision 2012, the 27th Congressional District Debate, coming to you live from the WNED studios. I'm Jim Ranney, your moderator for tonight's debate. Let's begin a new round of questioning. We go back to Bob McCarthy from the Buffalo News, and Bob, your question this time is for Ms. Hochul first.
Welcome to you also, Ms. Hochul. On Medicare, the Republicans have set forth a clear plan to reshape that program, and they say it's unsustainable without some major changes. You've opposed that plan and say that would amount to a voucher system, but what are you proposing as an alternative?
Medicare is a promise we made to our seniors since 1965. Every one of us has paid into it since our high school job. We have an obligation to make sure it's there for our seniors. The Ryan budget, which was put forward last year and again this year, that Chris Collins says does not go far enough, is a great concern to the seniors all over this district. They don't want this program voucherized and privatized and turn it back to the insurance companies, which got us into trouble in the first place. What we have to do is get the underlying cost of health care under control, and we can do that. I've introduced a bill to get at the $40 billion a year problem of waste, fraud, and abuse, people taking advantage of the system. We also can do much more to leverage our purchasing power and purchase prescription drugs on behalf of the 39 million beneficiaries of Medicare and do it cheaper. Why are people in this area going over to Canada for prescriptions drugs they should be getting here? It's not Medicare that's the problem, as Chris Collins and Paul Ryan and everybody else seem to think. It is the underlying cost of health care, and we've got to get those costs down.
Mr. Collins, you have 1 minute on the question.
Well, there's only one candidate here who has not voted to cut Medicare for current seniors. Mrs. Hochul broke her promise when she said she wouldn't touch Medicare. Her support of Obamacare, which takes $716 billion out of the current Medicare program and jeopardizes Medicare Advantage for my 85-year-old mom who lives in Brighton, a suburb in Rochester. That's what we can't have. I have never said I supported the Ryan budget. And when I said the Ryan budget didn't go far enough, I was talking about we need to balance the budget in the next 8 to 10 years. His plan actually took 28 years to balance the budget. I was not referring at all to Medicare. We have to keep Medicare intact for current seniors, anyone over the age of 55. I'm the only one standing here tonight who can say I will not and have not voted to change or impact Medicare. Mrs. Hochul's support of Obamacare is impacting Medicare today for current seniors, including my mom, who depends on her Medicare Advantage. Those are the facts, ladies and gentlemen.
Next question from Claudine Ewing from Channel 2. And Claudine, your question goes first to Mr. Collins.
Good evening, Mr. Collins.
Good evening.
Let's talk a little bit more about health care, Obamacare. If it should be repealed, as you say, what is your specific plan, your way, to handle health care for millions of uninsured Americans? And if President Obama is reelected, could you work with him?
Well, let's talk about Obamacare. What is it? It's a $500 billion tax increase on middle-class Americans. It's a $716 billion cut to Medicare and Medicare Advantage. It's the greatest expansion of Medicaid we've ever seen in our states and our counties. I certainly know as Erie County Executive, we cannot afford to expand Medicaid. It invades the rights of employers, and especially the Catholic Church, in telling them what benefits they have to provide. They're cutting payments to providers, and they're making 6 million Americans pay a $1,200 a year tax. That's why Obamacare's got to go, which my opponent supports. She may tell you she doesn't like this or that. She has voted to keep Obamacare intact as it is. And so when I look at what we had before Obamacare, it was the best health care system in the world. Better than the Canadians, better than Europe. Perfect, no. Don't let perfect be the enemy of good. What we had is good. We can make it a little better, but Obamacare makes it awful.
Ms. Hochul, on the question, you have 1 minute now.
I don't think we heard an answer to the question, what you would do differently, because the current system is not sustainable. Millions of people do not have health insurance, and the costs keep going up. So we do have problems in this country. I just heard Chris Collins say he's willing to reopen the donut hole on current seniors who, because of the health care law, are no longer having to pay additional prescription drug prices. I just heard Chris Collins say he doesn't care if someone has a pre-existing condition, a little kid with leukemia who may not be covered the rest of his life, that's okay with him. Or people who hit the lifetime cap, like people I've met on the trail. Or my neighbors, whose 23 and 24-year-olds are now covered by their parents' insurance. I have said all along, this is not a perfect bill, but let's fix what's broken. And I voted 3 times with Republicans to repeal parts there I thought were egregious, and I'm willing to look at it again. But it is the law, and there are good parts of it. And I don't think our seniors should have to suffer right now just because people are unwilling to roll up their sleeves and work out the problems with this law. So I don't think the all or nothing, my way, the highway approach works on this. We've got really tough problems, and we have to work together.
Claudine, a follow-up?
Mr. Collins, if you can, if Obamacare has to be repealed, what is the plan? What's the solution? And once again, can you work with President Obama if he is reelected?
Well, of course I can work with President Obama. The fact is we need to repeal Obamacare. My opponent supports it. She may try to nuance. There's things she doesn't like, but she's not in a position to change that. She supports Nancy Pelosi, who would never even bring those things to a vote if she were Speaker, who Mrs. Hochul supports. The fact is what we had was the best in the world. Can we make it a little better? Of course we can. We can, with one simple vote, add the 26-year-olds to that policy. It's very low cost. It's peace of mind. But I'm frankly saying what we had was the best in the world, and Obamacare is awful. She supports it. I don't.
All right, Ms. Hochul, I'll give you more time on this as well.
My position is clear. It's not perfect. We can fix it. I've already worked to fix it. But if Chris Collins continues to ignore my record, I have said I do not support the $716 billion. In fact, I voted twice against it. It's part of the Ryan budget. It is part of the Republican budget that Chris says doesn't go far enough. So you can't have it both ways. It's in the law that you're saying doesn't go far enough. How further will you go, Chris Collins? And this could hurt our seniors. I'll tell you right now, we've never had a chance to vote up or down on that $716 billion in cuts. I'd go to Washington tonight if we could.
Back to Julie Phillip from WXXI in Rochester. Julie, your next question is for Ms. Hochul.
Ms. Hochul, urban schools like those in Rochester and Buffalo are clearly broken. We have some of the lowest graduation rates in the country, especially for minority and low-income students. What should the federal government be doing about this crisis?
We need to reopen the No Child Left Behind Act because now teachers who work so hard are being forced to teach to the test and not to the child. That's not working. What we have to do also is cultivate a love for our young people in the elementary school for the jobs of the future, the opportunities in science, technology, engineering, and math. I was just at the Niagara Orleans BOCES Center on Friday. It was so exciting to look in the eyes of those young people and know that they had a shot at the American dream because they were learning meaningful skills, whether it was car repair, computer technology, welding, plumbing. There was a 18-year-old girl who just graduated. She told me that she had a $60,000-a-year job as a welder. Folks, there are jobs out there waiting for our kids. We just have to get them focused on the training that's going to help them go into the future. And we have to support our teachers because they've got the toughest job in the world. They work hard. They've got so much responsibility. And it's something that I feel very passionately about. If we're going to get our kids ready for the jobs of the 21st century, we need to stimulate their minds and get them excited about the new jobs at a very young age.
Mr. Collins, 1 minute.
Well, I think another core difference between Mrs. Hochul and I is she does think Washington's got the answers. I don't. I think we have too much government. Washington has overstepped. The 10th Amendment, which says, with very few exceptions, it should be up to the states to run their own business. Frankly, we should take the money that is squandered and wasted at the Department of Education in Washington, return that to our localities. Let the local folks, the teachers, the parents, let them decide how to educate our kids. I don't believe Washington's got all the answers, just like I don't believe Obamacare, which is a government takeover of health care, is what we need. We need less government. We need less spending. Local decision-making is what matters to me. So as a member of Congress, I'm not going to tell the people in the city of Buffalo, the city of Rochester, in Clarence, or in Geneseo how to educate their kids. I trust the parents in this district. They know what's best. It's not Washington, Washington, Washington.
Julie, did you have a follow-up question?
No.
Okay, let's go to our next email question then. It comes from Robert in Warsaw, and it goes to both candidates. Are you satisfied with media commercials for your candidacy, which are being paid for by outside interests? And Mr. Collins, I believe you're first on this email question. 45 seconds.
Well, political ads are part of the environment we're in. Some are good, some aren't good. They tend to, you know, go to the extreme. Frankly, they are what they are. It's the First Amendment. It gives people the right to say what they say, like Mrs. Hochul saying that somehow I support the Ryan cuts to Medicare, which I don't. That's not true either. Her comment earlier that I fired 115 workers at Buffalo China that never worked for me, I hired 245. So it's not just these super PACs. Frankly, the super PACs have been more honest than Mrs. Hochul's commercials. Her commercials are the ones that I think we should be more worried about, but she is protected by the First Amendment.
Ms. Hochul, on this issue?
It is very clear that the influence of outside money has gotten to be obscene all over America and also in this race. People like Chris Collins can benefit from millions of dollars from shadowy groups of people. We don't even know who they are, spending money to try and affect our decisions right here in Western New York. It is what it is. We deal with it. But if you want to get into the substance of my ads, I don't know if we've got enough time to answer this, but it is very true that when you had the opportunity to create jobs right here in America, you took government handouts and sent jobs and manufacturing over to China. You could have done it right here, Chris. You could have stood with American workers, and you decide you'd rather be with outsourced jobs because you could do it for $7 an hour there, and you said you couldn't do it here. That's a difference in priorities between the two of us.
I'd like to follow up on this issue because I think it's one that we heard time and time again on email questions. So to each of you on this question of, is there anything you can do as a candidate? You're saying it's a matter of free speech. If someone puts out an ad that you disagree with, can you stop it? Can you change it?
No, these are independent expenditures, but I can't let what Mrs. Hochul say go unanswered. When she talks about me outsourcing jobs, she's talking about two employees where one of my companies distribute products wherever they happen to be made in North America, and they've got a job. I'm sure what Mrs. Hochul's saying is she wants them to not have a job. But I'll ask the more basic question, Apple Computer. I consider Apple Computer an American success story. Are their products made here? No, they're not. But I consider them a success story. And Mrs. Hochul, I take issue with your comment. I've never created a job overseas. I don't have any jobs overseas. I've never outsourced a job overseas. But I've moved jobs from Mexico back to Buffalo. Oh. It's total misbetrayal.
Okay, Mr. Collins. Ms. Hochul on this issue. Again, we started talking about commercials. So.
Okay. It sounds like we're into the specifics of commercials, and I'm very happy to have this conversation. It is a fact that when you were starting your businesses, you took government handouts with one hand, $2.1 million government handout, and the intent was you're supposed to create jobs. And the same time, you gave pink slips to 115 people. As far as the outsourcing, why wouldn't you take a shot at American workers? We need people who believe in us. And I have to tell you, it gets frustrating to hear it back and forth, and I can imagine what it's like to be one of the viewers out there, but I promise it'll all end on Election Day.
Let me start another round of questioning by first reminding you that this is Decision 2012, the 27th Congressional District Debate, coming to you live from the WNED studios. I'm Jim Ranney. A new round of questioning begins. Back to Bob McCarthy from the Buffalo News. And Bob, your next question is for Mr. Collins.
Mr. Collins, let's take your thoughts on education a step further with a simple philosophical question. How do you view the role of the federal government?
When it comes to education, it's very clear. I don't view the federal government as having a role. I believe in smaller government. I believe Washington is taking on too much, telling us how to live our lives, telling us about Obamacare. I believe the best decisions are made locally. That's what the 10th Amendment and the Founding Fathers intended. I do not believe Washington bureaucrats should be telling us as parents how to educate our children. It's that simple. And that's my philosophy on a lot of issues when it comes to government. We need less government. We need less spending. We need to understand personal accountability and personal responsibility. We need to grow our economy. It's not Washington's job to pick winners, to pick losers, to do this and that. It's businesses who will have confidence in the future under Mitt Romney as we balance a budget, as we lower taxes, not raise taxes, especially taxes on small business.
Ms. Hochul, you have 1 minute on the question.
I said at the outset my philosophy is we need a government that's on your side, not on your back. When it comes to education, I have to tell you, I'd hate to go back to that Niagara Orleans BOCES Center and tell all those kids that the equipment that they're working on that came from Perkins Grants, which is a federal program, would be gone tomorrow. They were concerned because they have over $300,000 to train these kids so they can have the jobs of the future. I'm telling you, that's an investment in our kids. I think it's worth it. Federal government also helps young people have access to the American dream through Pell Grants. So many families can't afford the high cost of tuition these days. If we didn't have Pell Grants, I can't tell you how many kids would be denied a higher education and the ability to earn skills so they can become part of this great country. So I have a difference of philosophy. I'm not saying we tell teachers what to do. They know what they're doing. The school districts know what they're doing. But government has a role because these are expenses that our local governments can't afford. So why can't we invest in our young people? It is a difference in our philosophy.
Next question from Claudine Ewing from WGRZ TV Channel 2. And Claudine, your question is for Ms. Hochul first.
Ms. Hochul, let's talk gas prices. You mentioned gas prices to people right now, and they just get upset. In Western New York, we're paying among the highest in the nation. One gas station last week, it was $4.32 in downtown Buffalo. Shouldn't we expect our federal officials in Washington to do something and not pass the buck talking about where we are on the pipeline? And if that's the case, what are you going to push to do?
You're absolutely right. The high gas prices are crushing our economic recovery. Just ask small businesses like my mom's flower shop for the cost of delivery of flowers. It makes it so much more expensive. Or the farmers. I just held a farm round table. The cost of diesel is crushing their ability to make a good profit off the land. Here's what government can do. I have already introduced a bill to get at our oil speculators. Oil speculators are artificially driving up the cost of oil, unrelated to the cost of a barrel of oil. The price of gas continues to go up. I spoke on the floor of Congress. My bill would toughen up regulations to make sure they don't keep doing what they're doing. But we do have to find more energy sources. That's why I broke with my party to support the Keystone Pipeline. Long-term solution, not short-term, but it'll also be jobs for this area. I've supported offshore drilling. I've supported drilling at our federal lands in the appropriate places. So I believe in a comprehensive approach to our energy dependence. And the thing we have to do is stop our reliance on countries in the Middle East where we're engaged in acts of war and activities over there that are unrelated to our national security but are related to it. We need to make sure we're energy independent.
Mr. Collins, 1 minute on gas prices.
Well, I do agree with Mrs. Hochul. We need to be energy independent. The irony is, in her support of Barack Obama, he hasn't put forth a plan. I've heard a lot of reasons why the voters should not vote for Barack Obama. And a lot of those reasons are coming from Mrs. Hochul. And I agree with those reasons. I've also heard her talk about she's introduced this bill. She's introduced that bill. She's never introduced a bill that passed. So it's easy to introduce a bill. It may be harder to get a bill passed. As a member of the majority, I can assure the voters, when I introduce a bill, I'm going to have the kind of support that gets those bills passed, that they're not just a piece of paper to grab a headline. So I do think it makes a difference for those in the 27th Congressional District to send a member of Congress into the majority, where I'll be inside the room as we're making decisions. And when it comes to energy independence, that's a focus of Mitt Romney. It is not a focus of Barack Obama. So there's another reason, I guess, right from Mrs. Hochul, why we shouldn't be voting for Barack Obama.
Claudine, a follow-up on this question.
Mrs. Hochul, you live here in Western New York, so you see what the gas prices are like. You've had time in Washington. Why hasn't anything been done?
First, I have to break it to Chris tonight on the stage. Chris, you're not running against Barack Obama. You're running against me and my independent record. So let's just get that straight. Over 1,200 bills were voted on in Congress this year. You know how many became law because of the partisan gridlock that's going on down there? 77. This has been the least productive Congress since the 1940s. You know why? Because people are extreme. They won't work together. They won't do what I'm trying to accomplish. And I don't think we need more people that are willing to say they will not work with the other side of the aisle right even before they would get elected.
Mr. Collins, I'll give you time to respond if you'd like.
Well, independent is independent, but Mrs. Hochul fully supports Barack Obama. She was a delegate 4 years ago. He appointed her husband the U.S. attorney. She supports him now. She has stated she's going to vote for Nancy Pelosi to be the speaker. That doesn't sound very independent to me. So when it comes to independence, what I'll tell you, I am a conservative Republican. I believe in smaller government, personal accountability, local decision-making, fiscal discipline, serving taxpayers, and respecting future generations. Those are my core values, values I'm proud of.
Back to Julie Phillip from WXXI in Rochester. Julie, your next question goes to Mr. Collins first.
We've talked a little bit about your ideas for the nation's energy policy, but I want to talk specifically about green energy. Do you support special tax breaks and incentives for companies developing green energy solutions? And how do you think these solutions fit into the overall energy policy of the nation?
It's a good question, and I'll bet my answer is different than my opponent. Let me start by saying my granddaughter, Luna, will be 1 year old on Saturday, one. She's already got $52,000 of debt, and she isn't yet won. That's thanks or no thanks to Barack Obama the last 4 years, adding $6 trillion to our nation's debt. We don't have money, nor should we be picking winners and losers. I don't believe it's government's role to support technology that is not ready for prime time. I believe the market can decide when technology is ready for prime time, and if it's not, I don't support the federal government putting more debt on my granddaughter's back to pick winners and losers when they aren't ready for prime time. So, no, I do not support tax credits for emerging industries that aren't ready for prime time. I think that's a waste of taxpayer money we can't afford.
Ms. Hochul, I'll give you 1 minute on that question.
Sounds like Chris Collins is willing to turn his back on millions of jobs that we could get from helping our emerging green industry. I think you give a little helping hand in the beginning, and certainly they have to be independent. But are you also saying there should be no role for the federal government in supporting any energy? So are you saying here tonight that you'd end the tax breaks for big oil companies? That's the difference between us. I don't think we should be continuing to subsidize big oil companies when their profits are off the charts. Our farmers are taking it on the chin. Our small businesses are taking it on the chin. So if that's another area where you're going to continue supporting that because you've signed a pledge, not to the people of this district, but to Norquist, saying that you'll never raise a dime in taxes. So I guess you are standing with big oil over the people of this district.
Next, we have an email question tonight. This one comes from Michael in Hamburg, and he asks, what is the single most important change that needs to be made in order to improve life in Western New York? And this question first goes to Ms. Hochul. You have 45 seconds.
It's all about getting our people back to work. This is a vibrant, wonderful community with many cultural assets, and I've been blessed to represent this district from Buffalo all the way to Rochester and everything in between. But people have to get back to work. They need the dignity of a job. Government has got to give a helping hand where needed, but also sometimes just get out of the way. That's why I'm one of 18 Democrats to vote to cut taxes on small businesses. Small businesses where the jobs are going to come from, just like the small business I helped my mom start in Hamburg, where our writer came in from. Listen, if we get our people back to work, a lot of problems get solved. We'll have more money for Social Security. We'll have more money for Medicare. And also we'll have more money paid into the system to make sure that we can continue cutting down our deficits. I'd have to disagree with Chris Collins. He thinks...
Collins, on that question of the most important change that needs to be made.
We need more jobs. It's that simple. How do we get more jobs? We repeal Obamacare. I go to companies all the time. They have 47 employees. They're not going to hire any more workers and be subject to the provisions of Obamacare that kick in at 50 employees. We have to repeal Obamacare that Mrs. Hochul supports, that small business want to go away. That's why I am the endorsed candidate by the Buffalo Niagara Partnership and by business organizations around the country. We can't raise taxes. Obamacare is raising taxes with sneaky taxes, a medical device tax. They're raising taxes and fees on things like tanning salons. There's never enough money in the Obama Hochul world. They need more revenue. I'm saying we got to get the government off our back. We need to have a balanced budget. We need to reduce taxes on small business, not increase them.
Thank you, candidates. Let's remind our viewers and our listeners on radio that this is Decision 2012, the 27th Congressional District Debate, coming to you live from the WNED studios. Our next round of questioning starts with Bob McCarthy from the Buffalo News again. And, Bob, your question is for Ms. Hochul.
Yes, Ms. Hochul. The president has advanced the timetable for withdrawing U.S. forces from Afghanistan by 2014. Do you agree with that plan?
As a member of the House Armed Services Committee, I've had the opportunity to question generals on this directly. Before I left on a bipartisan trip to Afghanistan in May, I had a briefing from General Allen, and I asked him that very question. General, are you sure that this is the right timetable, and can we execute it properly? His answer to me was yes. But I continued as a member of this fact-finding delegation to ask that, not just the generals, but the troops on the ground, the other commanders, as I met people at five bases. We need to do a better job of transitioning the control of this country back to the Afghan National Security Forces and to their police so we can come home. We have lost 2,000 brave American men and women soldiers. We've fought the battle. We've accomplished our mission, which is the obliteration of Osama bin Laden. That's been our primary foreign policy objective since 9/11. We did it. It's time to bring the troops home. 2012 is the right timetable because we need to transfer authority to them and make sure that this region does not become a further hotbed for terrorism. And we have to do everything we can to make sure we protect our people at home and abroad.
Mr. Collins, 1 minute.
Well, certainly we need to bring our troops home when the mission's accomplished. When we defeat the Taliban, which has been supporting al-Qaeda. 2014, I think we all want them home then. The thing that I disagree with is that President Obama put a date certain out there. And I think we've heard others talk about it. A date certain is not a good thing to do. The other folks can say, when that date comes and goes, I can come back. I think 2014 is reasonable. We need to rely on the input from our commanders in the field to say, mission accomplished. I don't like date certain. I think that is not the right decision to make for the commander-in-chief. So we do need to get our boys home, and I would certainly support getting them home by 2014 as soon as we can, as long as the commanders in the field say, mission accomplished.
Candidates, we are almost out of time. We don't have really enough time to do another full question, so I'm going to ask one final question of each of you, and I'll give you 30 seconds each to respond. And I guess this question would start with Mr. Collins. Mr. Collins, in a few words, if you would, please, describe your greatest accomplishment.
Well, my greatest accomplishment right now is having two wonderful children in college at Villanova and Boston College, a third daughter who's got a 1,000-acre Black Angus beef ranch down in Virginia with 650 head of cattle, three grandchildren, Noah, who's 7, Gillum, who's 4, Luna, who will be 1 on Saturday, prioritizing family, and that's why I'm running for Congress. I'm worried about my granddaughter Luna's future with $52,000 of debt. I'm worried about my two in college that need to make sure they have jobs. But I'm very proud of the family that my wife and I have raised. They're great kids, mostly launched, and that's what I'm most proud of.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Collins. Ms. Hochul, on this accomplishment question.
I'm equally proud of my family. My son Bill is here with us tonight. My daughter Katie is not, but I have a wonderful family. I've been blessed. I have to tell you, I've been so blessed. When I look at my professional accomplishments, I keep thinking about the face of Bob Lewis, the Vietnam veteran who had been abandoned. Nobody cared about him, and he was denied life-saving surgery from the Veterans Administration multiple times. He came to us, and as a member of Congress, when I sat there and held his hand and heard his story, and he told us that we saved his life by our ability to cut through the red tape and get him what he needed. You know what? I felt fulfilled. I knew that we had done something very, very good.
I'm now told we might have time for another question. Claudine, let's take another question from you then. I'm sorry. Let's do another round of questioning.
Okay. Mr. Collins, this question's for you. How would you grade the performance of Ms. Hochul in Congress? A, B, C, D, F? And Ms. Hochul, when it's your time, grade Mr. Collins' performance when he served as Erie County Executive. But Mr. Collins?
Well, I'd have an easier time grading her performance as the county clerk, where we work pretty well together. In Congress, I have to say ineffective. She's never introduced a bill that's passed. We have heard a lot tonight about she was one of 12 Democrats and one of 18 Democrats to do this or that, but she supports Nancy Pelosi. Those various votes that she's saying she voted for and with Republicans would never have even been brought up for a vote if Nancy Pelosi were the speaker. So that's being a little disingenuous, a little too cute by half, to talk about all the times that she votes against Nancy Pelosi, doesn't support Barack Obama. So all I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I know Mrs. Hochul talks about being an independent moderate. We've talked about her being independent and moderate. Frankly, someone who supports sex selection abortion and somebody who supports card check to unionize small business around America, denying workers the right to even cast a vote, that is not a moderate.
Ms. Hochul, on this question, 1 minute.
Well, I think I would grade Chris Collins' performance as county executive pretty much the way the voters did. We know what happened. We all started out wanting to work together. In fact, we got elected on the same night. And I called him the next day and I said, Chris, the election's over. Let's work together. And we did start out having a good relationship. And where it ended, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I wanted to keep going together. But when you look at his record, I know you're proud of it, Chris, but every one of us is living with the legacy of what you did when you went and sued the Erie County Legislature to force a tax increase on us, the largest tax increase in a decade. So you talk about tax and spend and all these other liberal labels. You like to throw things around, but the reality is when you had a chance to be fiscally conservative, You punted. You raised taxes on people in this county. And while you were county executive, 14,000 people lost their jobs in Western New York. So, you know what? I think we could say you needed improvement.
Real quick, letter grade. Mr. Collins, a letter grade for Ms. Hochul.
I for ineffective.
Ms. Hochul, a letter grade for Mr. Collins.
Is that a real grade? I'm gracious.
Quickly, a letter grade.
C.
Okay. Time now to go to closing statements for our debate tonight. Again, our candidates flipped a coin to see who would go first. Ms. Hochul, you're up first with your closing statement, and you have 1 minute.
Thank all of you for joining this important conversation, and Chris for being here tonight. Right now, all across Western New York, moms and dads are tucking their kids in. Small business owners are closing the books on a hard day's work. Farmers are thinking about getting up early to start the day tomorrow. Teachers are grading the final papers. And seniors are looking at pictures of their grandkids. What do they all have in common? They all want their families to live the American dream. And they want their families to be safe and secure. You've heard a lot on this stage tonight. Crystal clear, sharp differences between Chris Collins and myself. But I want people to know, not only do we see the difference in who we stand with, but also how we operate. I know that neither party has all the right answers. That's why I roll up my sleeves and work across the aisle. But people in this community need to know so they can sleep secure tonight. They've got a representative who's got their back. I'm looking out for the farmers, the small businesses, the moms and dads. And I'll tell you, but one thing I won't do is balance our budget on the backs of our seniors and continue tax breaks for millionaires and billionaires. And I consider it such a privilege to serve this community. Thank you.
Mr. Collins, 1 minute for your closing statement.
Well, it was a lively debate, and I think the choice is clear on November 6th. If you want a member of Congress who's always worked in government, a liberal who supports Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi with more taxes and more spending, then Mrs. Hochul is your candidate. If, on the other hand, you want a member of Congress who has spent his life in the private sector, creating and saving 500 jobs in our area, someone who believes in smaller government, personal accountability, local decision-making, fiscal discipline, serving taxpayers and respecting future generations, then I respectfully ask for your vote. On November 6th, to go to Washington as your member of Congress to do what I can do to help restore the promise of the American dream for our children and our grandchildren. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. I hope you have a great night, and God bless America.
And with that, that will bring our debate to a close. But stay tuned for a recap and analysis coming up in just a minute. Thank you to our panelists. Thank you to the candidates, Kathy Hochul and Chris Collins. And thank you for watching and listening. Now it's time to make your voice heard. Please remember to vote on Election Day this November 6th. I'm Jim Ranney. Now let's go to Mary Alice Demler, Eileen Buckley, and Don Hudson at WGRZ-TV.
Back to the WGRZ studios in Buffalo. Let's take a little bit of time to analyze what we just saw. And to help us do that, we have Eileen Buckley from WBFO Radio. Welcome, Eileen.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we also want to let you know that you can get involved as well. What we're doing is basically asking you to send us messages through the Twitter universe. Just type hashtag CD27. Of course, that means Congressional District 27. You'll see those tweets also at the bottom of the screen.
So let's get some instant reaction from our two political analysts, former Buffalo Mayor Anthony Masiello and former Deputy Erie County Executive Carl Calabrese. Mr. Mayor, I'll start with you. What stood out for you during this debate?
Well, I think this election is going to be in the hands of independents. Everybody knows the Republicans are voting for Collins. Democrats are voting for Hochul. Where are the independents going to go in this very close race? And to me, it was very obvious. I think, personally, Kathy did a very good job in trying to capture that vote, the independent vote, which, quite frankly, right now, she's got a little bit of an edge with Collins. I think she was far more sensitive to the question of education. Instead of saying, well, we shouldn't be involved in it, Washington has no place in it, she came out with some very good points as to what needs to be done and why. I thought she was very good on the fracking issue. Let's do it, but let's do it with caution. I think she was very sensitive to the areas of the war and whatnot. So I think in going after that small margin there of what she needs to win with independents, I think she came across as very sensitive, very informative, and very likable, which I think is an important category.
Carol Calabrese, what do you believe stood out in this, and perhaps what was the defining moment for the candidate?
Well, you know, I thought it was a close debate in a very close election, and I think you got to look down the road for election night, and I think that Mr. Collins did some interesting things tonight. This is a very conservative district, and it's very pro-Romney, it's very anti-Obama and anti-Obamacare, and all night he kept combining those issues and Mrs. Hochul's support. And so I think what he's trying to do, and I think what he did, is he planted that seed in voters' minds. When they get in the privacy of that voting booth in a couple of weeks, they say, what do I really want out of my representative in Washington? The things he said tonight about his core values as a conservative, about Obamacare being having to be repealed, about cutting of Medicare, I think those ideas may come back and play to his advantage in 2 weeks.
Let's talk about a little bit about the debate overall and maybe big names coming in. We have President Clinton coming in Friday to Rochester to help Kathy Hochul and also Louise Slaughter. They had an hour tonight to tell us what they believe. What's better, the hour we just heard from them or having someone like Bill Clinton come in?
Well, I think the debate needs to happen. People have to see the two on stage and get a better gauge of who they are on the issues and who they are personally. Listen, Bill Clinton, I've been with Bill Clinton many times. He excites the base, and that's why he's here, to excite the base, to bring out the faithful. And in an election like this, when you're down 7-1 in affiliation, you know, Kathy needs to excite her base.
But does it get that 6%? Because there's only 6% that's undecided.
It does excite the base, and you need to do that. But again, independents are going to play a key role here. And what Collins did tonight, if you look at the poll that you folks did, independents favor Collins' position, the Republican position, on jobs, the economy, dealing with the deficit, and taxes. And he's reminding them that if that's what you want in terms of somebody to cast your vote for you in Washington, I'm your guy.
Yeah.
And that's who he was speaking to tonight, those 6, 7, 8% of independents that may very well decide this election.
But in the Siena poll, Hochul has a 7 or 9 point advantage among independents.
Eight
points. So that's close. So right now, even though this whole polling is of interest because in those areas it shows that Collins is favored. However, when it comes to the overall number, she does very well with independents. And I think that's where the election is going to be won or lost. And I think her likability, her understanding of the issues, her role as a congressperson in Washington instead of abrogating that issue or that responsibility, taking it on, challenging it, I think wins her some points.
When you ask independents, what party do you favor running Congress? It's 54-37 Republican. I think that's why Chris Collins brought up the name Pelosi on more than one occasion tonight.
He did a lot of that, yes.
Yeah, you heard a lot of that, and certainly a lot of them sticking to their talking points, a lot of the same mantras we've heard in the commercials. Did you hear anything new tonight or anything that surprised you? Was there any big gotcha moment that stood out for you, Mr. Mayor?
No, not really. I think what impressed me is Kathy had a very good sense of the issue. Usually when you're the incumbent, everybody's attacking you. I thought she handled herself very professionally, very intelligently.
Carl? I thought Collins did a good job personalizing issues, talking about the $52,000 of debt on the one-year-old, talking about how Obamacare will hurt his mom. I thought that was a good technique.
All right.
Great comments, gentlemen. Thank you.